Welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are going to begin chapter 5, which reiterates the giving of the Ten Commandments and the surrounding events. Verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them.
So God spoke to the first generation these commandments. Moses wrote them down, and now this second generation, Moses is speaking to the people what he wrote down, what was written down of these commandments. So he says, all right, listen to these statutes. Listen to these judgments that I'm speaking in your ears so you can learn, attend to it, and put them into practice. Mm-hmm. You understand, there's more than just hearing the word. There's more than quoting the word. Mm-hmm. But you have to put that into practice. And this is what he's telling them to do.
Very good. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day.
So he reminded these Israelites, God made a covenant with you. When he says with you, with the nation of Israel, God made a covenant with the nation of Israel there at Mount Horeb. And this covenant is obviously affecting the entire nation, and not just their forefathers. You understand, the covenant that God cut with Abraham was to be handed down from generation to generation to generation. And at that particular time, circumcision was the seal of the covenant. So any generation, that circumcision was saying, we're in covenant with God. So we're obligated to the covenant just as much as Abraham was. And so he's reminding of them, and it's that this covenant applies to every generation, and it applies to the one that was right there on the east side of Jordan.
The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time and showed you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
Now, Moses is reminding them how the Lord had spoken to him. Now, the KJV version says face to face. We know that no man can see the face of God. And so he's not saying that he's seeing his face. Basically, what he's saying is that God spoke to Moses like a man would talk to a man. In other words, there's a conversation going there, and he spoke to him from the midst of the fire. So he's not seeing a face, and he says that, you know, the Lord has delivered you out of Egypt. God spoke to Moses like a man talks to a man. God spoke to the nation of Israel at Horeb like a man talks to a man. They didn't see a form. They didn't see the face, but they heard the voice. And he told them that he brought them out of the Egyptian bondage, and they were to, you know, obviously revere him, but they became frightened at the voice of God and the phenomenon that they had experienced. And so they asked Moses to be a mediator between them and God. Excuse me. You heard God speak and it scared you. God was talking to you like a man would talk to a man, and it was so frightful you said you didn't want to hear it anymore. And so you asked me to be your mediator. And so that's what's occurred all these years. Is Moses talked to God, and he comes back and tells the people what God said.
And at the time that the Lord spoke in Mount Horeb, He gave the following commandments to the descendants of Israel. Thou shalt have none other gods before me.
All right, they've heard this. Now the first generation, God spoke it to them verbally and then wrote it down. Now Moses is speaking to them. You shall have no other god in my presence. Mm. Now I see an underlying statement in this. You have other gods, I'll leave you. I'm not going to cohabit with other gods. And people trying to have many gods. No, our God does not cohabit with other gods. He's God and God alone. Don't you have any other gods in my presence? Remember when they captured the Ark of the Covenant and they set it in there with Dagon, the Philistines, and what happened? No, that God's not going to stand in the presence of God. You understand? Don't have any gods in my presence.
Okay. Verse 8, Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
So Moses is telling them, don't make idols in the form of anything, in heaven or earth, in the waters, and don't you bow down or serve any of these idols. God says, I'm a jealous God. To those that hate me, I'll inflict punishment for the iniquity of your fathers, and I'll do it upon your descendants to the third and fourth generations. And I'll show mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandment. Now, a lot of people read into this something. When he says that he'll inflict punishment for the iniquity of the fathers upon the descendants to the third and fourth generation, that doesn't mean that the descendants have to incur the judgment of God. They can repent and not do what their forefathers did.
Yeah.
He tells you in Ezekiel that the son is not going to be punished for the sin of the father, nor the father punished for the sin of the son, but every man bears his own punishment. But if from one generation to another generation to another generation, they just follow the pattern of the forefathers, then they're going to incur the affliction, the punishment that God has for them. Okay, so don't read into it what's not there. And then God says, I show mercy to 1,000 generations. God's a merciful God. But God doesn't sweep things under the rug. God deals with things. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. You understand? And if you love him, he said, keep my commandments. Then you can know whether or not you love God or whether or not you do what God says.
That's good. Verse 11, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain.
I think a lot of people have mistaken this verse and said things that is carrying the wrong connotation, okay? When I growing up in church, I thought it meant you couldn't cuss. And that's how it was presented to me. You can't cuss, okay? But that's not what he's saying. And I'm not advocating cussing, so don't cuss. Okay?
Yeah.
But that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is carrying a much deeper meaning than that. Do not use the name of the Lord your God in an unfruitful manner. God's name is not a byword. He said the Lord will hold those accountable who misuse his name. And if you look at vain is worthless. It's not producing anything. And when we're using the name of the Lord our God, it should be producing something, showing our love for God or using His name to drive out demons or whatever the case may be. But, you know, just frivolously using the name of God is taking God's name in vain. And preachers are bad about that. No, that's a sacred name. And we need to hold that name sacred.
Verse 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that the manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day.
You know, there's probably more said about the Sabbath day than any of the other commandments, more narrative on the Sabbath day. And it's amazing how much detail he gives to concerning the Sabbath day, because he's saying that, you know, that seventh day you're resting. You, your sons, your daughters, mm-hmm. your male servants, your female servants, your oxen, your donkeys, your cattle, any foreigner who's within your gates, no one is allowed to do any work. Now, that is, and it goes on to say, it gives your servants opportunity to rest. You're giving your animals opportunity to rest. The land has a certain amount of rest, you understand. All this is pointing to Jesus. In Jesus, there's rest for everyone.
Yeah.
But our rest is in Him. And when we violate that, it has a ripple effect. In other words, if a man doesn't honor the Sabbath and he has slaves, then he'll be working the slaves so they can't rest. And they'll be using the animals so they can't rest. And the land has no rest. It has a ripple effect. And so I believe he puts so much emphasis on this that because of the fact that it's pointing to our rest is in Jesus. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do in the name of Jesus. We live by faith. We live by a finished work, not trying to do work. You understand? And when you exercise your faith in Jesus, you're recognizing what He's done, then you'll have actions that demonstrate what you believe. So it's not like you're not doing anything. You're resting in Him. You're not depending upon you. You're depending upon Him. He puts a lot of emphasis on Sabbath day. And here again, it's not about a day. It's about a person. Our rest is in a person, not in a day. And so you don't need to make a doctrine or a denomination out of a day. We're talking about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is pointing to.
Amen. Verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
So this is a mandate. This is a commandment of God. This is not children, honor your parents if you want to. No, this says honor your father and your mother like the Lord commanded you so that you can live a long life and so that it'll be well with you in the land that the Lord has given with you. I think there is dangerous to dishonor parents. I'm not talking about worshiping. I'm talking about children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor them. When they tell you something, understand that they're looking out for your best interest. You may think you know it all, but what you don't realize is they've already been there and done that. They know consequences. Give them the honor and the respect they're due. You understand? And then that puts obligation on parents. Be parents instead of buddies. Parents today are trying to be buddies to their children. They're not being parents to their children. They just want to be accepted as one of the other friends, one of the other buddies or whatever. And we have an obligation to discipline them in the way they should go. This is the way. I thank God that my parents didn't let me do what I wanted to do. You talking about self-destruction, that would have been a disaster. But I'm one that needed somebody pulling the reins. You understand? Because I didn't know nearly what I thought I did. You know, you get a certain age, you think you're smarter than the parent. Until you become a parent, and then you realize how dumb you are. So, honor your parents. Now, with that said, I mentioned this earlier, we need to give honor to Father God.
Yeah.
You honor Father God. You respect Father God. You obey Father God. You submit to Father God.
Verse 17, thou shalt not kill.
Well, now that's pretty cut and dried. Note this, it should be murder.
Yeah.
You shall not murder. If you say you can't kill, that'd do away with capital punishment, which would be contrary to the law of Moses because God was calling for capital punishment on certain things. He's not talking about that. He's talking about don't murder. People, you know, you have these people that do their protesting against war when God calls for the war.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not supposed to kill. The Bible says, don't murder. Don't murder. You understand? There is a difference.
Verse 18, neither shall thou commit adultery.
Here again, that's pretty cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Neither shalt thou steal.
That's cut and dry too, right? What's stealing? Taking something that's not yours. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a big area. I remember when I worked as a mechanic, you put a shop towel in your pocket, you know? And you forget it. But then you go to the house. I'm going to tell you, God convicted me over that. Because it's not mine. So if I take that towel home with me, I stole that towel. So I started buying my own so I'd have some at the house. You understand? Don't steal. And that would go for the government. Government don't steal from the people. I like Ray Stevens' song, if 10% was good enough for God, it ought to be good enough for the government.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And there's so much stolen in the name of the government that it's not even funny. You're seeing all this fraud coming out right now of the money, the taxpayer dollars that have been stolen, and these people have become multimillionaires with the taxpayers' money. That's stealing. You can call it anything you want to. Fraud is still stealing. You shall not steal from anybody. It's amazing to me how many kids steal from their parents.
Yeah.
I could say a lot about that, but I won't.
We need to let that sink in a little bit because many times, I know I used to associate stealing with breaking and entering, or somebody breaking into a store, or robbery at the bank, or whatever. But little foxes spoil the vine, and little things creep in, and if we justify this and say this is okay and that's okay, it's...
You know what would happen if you enforce these laws instead of slapping their hand? You'd stop the stealing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago, ministering in Singapore. You can leave your wallet on the bed. They didn't play around. You understand? They were afraid to steal. Why? Because they would enforce the law. They didn't write you up for a misdemeanor. You understand? Drugs, capital punishment. Now, you want to eliminate it, then you have laws so stringent that it discourages the crime. That's exactly what the laws of Moses was about. It was about enforcing this thing so you could keep the land pure before God, honorable before God, so God could bless the land. And people say, well, you know, he's hard. I've had it said to me, you're a hard man. And I just asked the person that asked me that. This was a minister. I said, am I harder than God? Am I not saying what the scriptures say? So are you saying God's a hard God? I'm saying God is a just God. God's a righteous God. God does everything fair, and God knows more than all of us put together, so it would behoove us to follow His rules and regulations, if you will.
I'm going to go back to the stealing thing one more time. Have you ever had anybody say to you, when they want to take something and they take it without permission, I'm going to steal this? I mean, they flat out say it and make light of it, thinking that this is little. But here's the bottom line. If we know it doesn't belong to us and we don't have permission to take it, we ought to just leave it alone. Verse 20. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Ooh, this is happening.
Well, that just has to get rid of a lot of your attorneys and all this type of stuff in the court system, where they get up and lie for one another trying to protect the criminal. A false witness is someone that stands as a witness given false evidence, you understand? That is lying. And what you're doing is you're trying to get someone else in trouble. Now, if you go with all the law, then the person that had bore the false witness, you were to punish him like he was wanting the other person punished. That can eliminate false witnesses, you understand. People who's lied. I mean, there's been more lies told in this nation than the news. I mean, the news, they're just chronic liars. You understand? You get into your Congress, you get into your Senate, and what do you have? You have people who's supposed to be leaders of nation that are the biggest liars you'll ever meet. They lie for their advantage. You don't bear false witness. And there's a lot of lies been fabricated over the last few months, well, the last few years, actually, but especially in the last few months. There's tremendous lies fabricated. What is that? You're bearing false witness against a person.
Verse 21, neither shall thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shall thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's.
What's covet? Covet is having a strong desire for something that belongs to someone else. And so, we're not to desire anything that belongs to anybody else. It doesn't matter what it is. We don't use the word covet a lot, but we do know what desire is. We do know what lust is and those type things. We're not to be guilty of that. I don't want what somebody else has. And I sure don't want it enough to take it and steal it or whatever through deception or manipulation or whatever. No, we're not to covet what someone else has had. Be content with what God's given you. And if you really need something, it's all right to work for it. Work doesn't kill you. It'll actually probably extend your life. Do you understand? Physical labor is good for you. So don't be afraid to work. But do you work? Absolutely. Do you do physical labor? Absolutely. And I think we all should do that, not wanting what somebody else has had, not expecting someone else to hand something to me. But if it's worth having, it's worth working for. You understand? Don't covet. Don't desire what someone else has. I don't even want your position.
Yeah.
But a lot of people covet the positions.
Verse 22, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire of the cloud and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tablets of stone and delivered them unto me.
I find this interesting. Now he's telling you, listen, what I've just told you is what God spoke in an audible voice right there at Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai, one and same, okay, to the Israelites from the midst of the fire, when the cloud and the thick darkness covered the mountain, God spoke out of that. He also wrote these in tables of stone and gave them to Moses. That intrigues me because he told Moses to write these laws, these civil laws, dietary laws, and the health laws and all these type things, he said, write it in a book. God put these things in stone. You want to erase them.
Yeah.
They're there. They're perpetual. You understand? And I think there's some significance to that in that he wrote it in stone. Unchangeable. That's my word, and it doesn't change. Keep it.
Verse 23. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have, and lived? Go thou near, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it.
Now here again, Moses is just reiterating something to them. He says when the Israelites heard the voice, from the midst of darkness to the mountain, burning with fire, and all this. Now note this, the heads of the tribes, that's your civil leaders, that's your political leaders, if you will. They and the elders, they came to Moses and they said, look, the Lord has shown us His glory. Coming down on the mount burning, the smoke, and His greatness, and speaking to them, they said, we've heard His voice speak to the people, and He didn't kill us. So, we're afraid of Him. We're afraid of this great, that this great fire will consume us. Now they're equating God with fire. God's just speaking to them out of the fire, okay? And so they were afraid that they would die if God continued to speak to them. So, go ahead.
I heard one night when I was listening to the scriptures, I heard that scripture, that I heard verse 25. And when we got to that part, if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall surely die. Immediately I heard, if you don't hear the voice of the Lord your God, you'll die.
Yeah. And so they said, what human being has ever heard God speak from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? And so they requested from Moses to go to God. You hear what God said. If we here will die, you go risk your life. And that's what people want you to do. You go out there. And if anybody dies, let it be you, not us. You understand? But you go find out what God has to say, and then you come back and you tell us what God has said to you, and we'll listen. They're lying. They wouldn't listen. They didn't listen. You understand? God spoke to Moses. Moses told them what God said. But they didn't want to hear it. You understand? And obviously it got them in trouble.
You know, people do similar things today with their pastors, their preachers. You go do the work. You go hear from God, and then you just come back and tell me. In other words, just give me the cliff notes, the abbreviated. I'll let you take all the weight of this and do the brunt of the work. You just tell me. We have to hear from the Lord ourselves. This is a personal relationship. We can't rely on somebody else telling us.
I'm going to tell you this. I learned, and I'm talking about long before I went in ministry, okay? I learned more about God spending time alone with God, reading the scriptures, than I learned in church. I learned religion in church. But I learned God by staying in the Word of God. Don't depend on somebody else telling you what God said. You go in and find out for yourself what God said. You understand? And I'm a living witness of that, and I can tell you it's well worth the time you spend. You with me? Because you spend time with God, and God's going to spend time with you. You give Him the time, and He'll give you time. He'll give you revelation. And I thank God for the revelation and the knowledge that He's given to me because of personal time with God, not because of going to church. That was prior to ministry. I still love to spend time with God. Not because I'm a preacher, because I'm a person. I'm not looking for a message to preach to people. I want to know Him. Okay?
Verse 28. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, get you into your tents again.
So the Lord heard the words, you know, that was spoken to Moses by the Israelites, and God said, they're right. They're right. And he said, oh, that they had a heart in them that would cause them to fear me and always keep my commandments. In other words, they continue their lifestyle. Yes, I would consume them. I just wish they had a heart, because I would like things to go well for them and their descendants forever. He said, tell them to go back to their tents. And the rest is history. Moses is the one that would spend time getting the word from God, and Moses would tell the people what God said. Our time's up, so we'll have to stop here. We'll continue this in our next session, as the Lord wills. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great rest of the week. Stay warm. Stay safe.